Anyone else? Any other questions? A strange man shows up with a microphone and starts interviewing, and nobody else wants to know anything?
Me.
Yeah?
At first I thought you were going to babysit us.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road gets rough ahead, where you're miles and you're miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said, 'cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. There to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the lane I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherry. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home.
Hi, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is November 27th, and I'm back in New Hampshire. But we've still got plenty to do as far as the School Sucks Across America tour is concerned. We're only through the first 2 weeks of shows, so you're going to be hearing more from this tour for the rest of 2017, and I'm excited to bring you this show today. This was a really enjoyable and enlightening stop in the Wichita, Kansas area. This is back at the end of October. I pulled up to the home of two longtime School Sucks listeners and supporters, Jared and Shauna Hine. And they had this pretty enormous gathering of home educating families at their house when I arrived. One of the first things that I did after having some much needed snacks was I sat down in their living room, surrounded by as many as, oh gosh, I'm going to say 15, felt like 15 young people, the oldest of which was 12. And we had a little roundtable discussion about home education versus school and the things they do each day at home or in their alternative education settings. Almost all of the students I spoke to attended something called Sparks Academy, which was created by a woman you're going to hear me interview before the roundtable, even though in real life it happened after the roundtable. Her name is Julie Price. So we talk for about 25 minutes, and then you'll hear almost an hour of my discussion with these young learners. Huge thanks to Jared and Shauna Hine for making me feel very, very welcome. They made like a hotel room for me in their home. It was, I felt very special being there. Jared, Shauna, and I actually did another show that you'll hear before the end of this week, before the end of this month, if I have anything to say about it. And I do, I'm like totally in charge here. So I should be able to make that happen by November 30th. So anyway, last time I spoke to you, I was in Tennessee. That seems like a lifetime ago. I was wearing shorts. I hope your November has been great. I hope your holiday shopping has been fruitful. But I'm happy to report that I have returned to New Hampshire. I'm unpacking. I've been resting. And I'm excited to bring you more shows from the latter half of School Sucks Across America, from Colorado and beyond, including a couple releases that I'm really, really excited about. And I hope you enjoy this interview with Julie, followed by my lively discussion with many of her students at Sparks Academy. And I can't promise that that's like the most organized discussion you've ever heard, but I really, really enjoyed talking to all of these young people. It was one of those days where I said, this is what School Sucks Across America is all about. I know I've said that like a few times in the 10 shows that I've released, and maybe you feel like because of that, that whole this is what School Sucks Across America is all about statement is losing its impact. But I'm pretty sure that actually just means it was really successful. If I go from place to place, and in almost every place, I'm going, this is what School Sucks Across America is all about. I think that means we did it. So more stuff coming soon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the show. So at first, this will seem awkward. It's awkward for me, too, at the beginning of every... Yep, you can face the wall if that helps. And it gets easier. As every minute goes by, it just gets easier. Look, we're having fun already. All right, so I'm pleased to welcome to School Sucks for the first time, Julie Price, the founder and owner of Sparks Academy. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
So nice that I would run into you today in... What town are we in, by the way?
We're in Leon, Kansas.
In Leon, Kansas. at, I guess, what is a fairly regular meetup of homeschoolers and unschoolers. Almost all the, so I already did an interview, about a half an hour group interview with a lot of young learners who gathered around me. And they said they all attend Sparks Academy. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in learning about what Sparks Academy is, how long it's been there, and what the mission is.
Okay. We started Sparks Academy in August of 2016. So mm-hmm. this is our second school year. I have a teaching background. I went to the University of Oklahoma, and I loved learning about how humans learn. And then I went out into the teaching force, you know, out into the schools, and I really had a hard time mm-hmm. With my role as a teacher in a traditional classroom.
What was the subject and the age?
I always did fourth grade. I actually started in the middle of a year, and I took over a position for Jennifer Hatmaker, who's actually a famous blogger and on HGTV nowadays, incidentally. It was gifted kids. There were three teachers that team taught. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in charge of science and social studies. And then I moved on to being a self-contained classroom for fourth grade after that.
And how long did it take before you were feeling this just isn't right?
Oh, I finished that semester. I went to the principal when they told me that they were going to hire me for the next position and, or for the next year. And I said, okay, but here are my rules. Like, I need to be self-contained. I'm not switching kids. I don't get any time to make relationships with my kids. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And they were like, okay, we'll give you all the children with special needs. If you'll agree to that, then you can be your self-contained classroom. There were 14 fourth grade classrooms at that time in that school.
14 fourth grade classrooms? Mm-hmm. How many kids at the school?
Whatever that equals to. There was 14 of every grade level.
That's unheard of.
So they agreed to my terms, and they put me in like the last room at the end of the hall, and I got to be self-contained with my population of students with special needs, and I did what I did. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask permission most of the time.
So you told me earlier that on your way here, you would listen to the very first episode of School Sucks mm-hmm. podcast from 2009. Mm-hmm. And you said you heard a lot of things you really identified with. Mm-hmm. So already I'm picking up some of that because I had the same kind of situation where I had a population that a lot of people in the larger environment, they didn't really know what to do with them. They really didn't seem too interested in mm-hmm. what was best for them. And I had a lot of, you know, free rein as far as the way I wanted to run that educational environment. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing it, I didn't run it as an educational environment at all. I ran it as exactly as I thought a school environment should be run, with subjects and homework and assignments. And then the second year, I mean, it was probably the most educational year of my life as far as like what works and what doesn't. And what real learning is mm-hmm. and, you know, educational freedom versus schooling. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, 13 years ago that I was doing this. So you're still in the public school, though, at this point. How did you get out of there?
I got pregnant mm-hmm. and decided to be a stay-at-home mom. I knew that I was going to do that. When Nathan went to kindergarten, it was such a nightmare that we pulled out for homeschooling, and that's when a lot of my perception started to change. When I was teaching in the schools, I could say, well, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to do this as close to what you're asking me to do that I still feel pretty good about. But then having my child, my five-year-old, go to school and just see how there was just no room for him to be creative or curious, mm-hmm. that was when we pulled out and decided to homeschool.
In kindergarten?
I was...
No room for creativity or curiosity in kindergarten.
That's the title of my book. There's no room for curiosity in kindergarten.
What were the obstacles? I even think about school, like all the way up through fourth grade. That's how they get you. That's how they hook you, mm-hmm. you know? And I do hear, like, people are telling me that the middle school part of school, like just the drudgery of worksheets and homework, is like creeping earlier and earlier and earlier into the grades. Mm-hmm. But kindergarten, you think that's just like advertising for school, but no. So what happened?
Not anymore. We've taken the academic rigor that we need to give our kids so that they can get the advantage, and we just keep changing the age, the requirements. So now it's kindergarten. There's no play in kindergarten. There's no little kitchenettes in kindergarten. It is worksheets. It is sit and listen. And for Nathan, he's just an out-of-the-box thinker, and it was just too much.
Now, you worked in the school, and you probably knew what questions to ask when you started seeing this happen to your own son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were deeply invested, I mean, not just as a parent at that point, but also as somebody who was maybe starting to recognize a lot of these things through your own teaching career. Did you ever seek justification for this stifling nature of Nathan's kindergarten? Were there discussions about that?
Oh, so many. I was looking back through my emails a few weeks ago. I came across, I was looking for something, and I found emails from the teacher at the time. And it's a story that I hear every time somebody new comes to Sparks and I hear their story about school. It's always, well, the teacher was like, do you find it's hard for him to focus? He has a really hard time sitting still. He really wants to be up and play, and he's not listening well, and all the things that teachers say to you about your student and your child and mm-hmm. what you can do to make them behave in class or whatever it is you need to do. And you just finally get to the point where you ask yourself if you're waiting for them to adjust. That's what I was told. Give it till January. He'll adjust. Mm. But he started unlearning. Like, he started refusing to write his name. He started refusing to go to bed at night. Mm. He would come home from school and just melt down. He finally blew up one day when he refused to color the school bus yellow. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, why do I have to color the school bus yellow? And the teacher sent that to me as a behavior issue. Like, he's questioning why he has to color the school bus yellow. When I was like, why does he have to color the school bus yellow? And that was the moment. We were done. We made it through 9 weeks of kindergarten before I was like, this is what I do. This is what I know. I don't know what homeschooling is about, but we are going to figure something out that's better than this. We can't do this anymore.
So what did that transition look like?
Well, we de-schooled for a while, so we did a whole lot of nothing so that he could just build his confidence back up. He was a confident kid, and he lost it. And honestly, like, the first 2 weeks of school, he lost it. He changed his whole personality. So we just built him back up. We just learned for curiosity's sake. What do you want to learn about today? Which is what we had been doing before school, which was what his perception of what kindergarten was going to be like. He was so excited to go to kindergarten, and it just wasn't that. It's really not about looking for curiosities or creativity or even being with a crowd of peers and making friends. Like, that's not even what it's about. And we just did that. We got out of school and we just started doing that. We made friends. We spent time with our friends. I'd be like, what do you want to learn about today? Okay, let's do that. And had to build him back up.
What did he want to learn about? Like, what was really important to him when he was pulled away from, like, the worksheet environment? And there's not even, like, a social dynamic that's really focused on in kindergarten anymore. I mean, I think that would be important to get kids ready for the next 12 years of their lives. Right. But that's not even happening.
No. There's no time for socializing. It's very much academic. Interestingly enough, for Nathan, about 2 weeks after I took him out of kindergarten, he got a kitty cat face keyboard. Mm-hmm. And he sat down and said, hey, mom, is this that song? And he played the first two bars of Till I Collapse by Eminem, which was on my running mix. Like, I ran on the treadmill almost every day, and that was one of the songs. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, babe, it is. Are you interested in piano? And he was like, yeah, I'm interested in piano. And I started looking around for a piano teacher. I found one who did lessons. She says, I don't start him until third grade. I said, well, he's really interested, and we homeschool. And she said, oh, okay, I'll take him. And he still does lessons with her now. He still regularly sits down at the piano, plays something from ear just for the sake of doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things he was interested in.
And he's 11
almost
now?
Almost immediately. He's 12.
He's 12 now. Mm-hmm. So what have the last 6 or so years been like for him as far as education is concerned?
Great. He pretty much taught himself how to read at 4, which I think was part of the reason why kindergarten was so dreadful, was there was no time for reading in kindergarten.
What? Okay.
Because, you know, that's not where a lot of the students were. It was very regimented. This kindergarten classroom was literally set up with 10 minutes on a kitchen timer for centers, and the teacher was training them to respond to the timer instead of her voice. And this was one of the things that he really struggled with, was the sound of the timer just really was unappealing to him. and there was no time for him to read, which is what he really wanted to do, was to spend time reading, which is one of the other things he does. He just devours books when given the opportunity. He loves coding, so that's one of the reasons we started a coding class at Sparks, is because he was interested. And I was like, well, I don't know anything about coding, but we can figure this out together and figure it out with a whole bunch of other kids. And so we sit as a community of 12 kids and help each other figure out how to make the computer do the thing you want it to do. And right. I think it's been great.
So was your experience home educating or watching Nathan home educate, was that the inspiration for starting Sparks Academy?
Mm-hmm. Well, even when I was in college, I thought there are so many things we could do differently. And then my teaching experience, there were so many things that I was like, why do we do it that way? That doesn't make sense to me. So it's always been a dream to start a school and to do it differently. And watching Nathan and knowing how much he likes collaborating with friends, like humans need people to have community with and mm-hmm. collaborate with. And Sparks is a place to do that. They come together, they decided they're going to make a movie. So they storyboarded a movie and we're filming a movie at Sparks because it was Nathan's idea. And we were like, hey guys, you want to make a movie? Absolutely. And so I come in with, you know, lessons on special effects or special effects makeup and technology and all the different things. And that's what they're doing. They need a community to learn with and to grow with and to share ideas with. And that was my inspiration for Sparks.
So how long has it been up and running?
August of 2016.
It sounded like in some of the conversations that I was listening to, there's some antagonism, like some of these kids are actually coming from more structured environments in that's creating challenges. Are there kids coming to Sparks in combination with going to a normal school?
Right. So this year I needed rent space and I found a school that purchased it previously middle school,
yeah,
with open classrooms. So I'm renting classrooms there, and that founder was in need of science and technology teachers. And so we're trading a little bit of rent space for my teaching of science and technology classes. Their population is very traditional. Mm-hmm. It's a very traditional classroom, and the kids come to me for a variety of classes, for 45-minute classes throughout the week. In the afternoons.
Is it like a charter school or?
It is a, it's registered the same as Sparks as a non-accredited homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a urban private school.
So with, sounds like a very different philosophy.
A very different philosophy. And I knew we were, as far as instructional practices, on opposite ends of the spectrum, but I felt like we were maybe closer together on just the general environment or what we were doing for kids,
mm-hmm.
coming to find out that it's very different. So it has been adjustment.
Has there been any exchange of ideas? Like any curiosity about what you're doing, which is clearly different from what's happening in elsewhere in the building?
Originally, I thought so, but at this point, it doesn't seem like there is.
No.
Yeah.
So what is the, how would you describe the philosophy of Sparks or the mission of Sparks?
Sparks is a multi-age,
mm-hmm.
Collaborative community. It's self-directed learning. It's an open classroom. So on any given day, a student gets to participate as much or as little in the spark that I provide.
Mm-hmm.
Spark is just an opportunity to open their minds to something maybe they hadn't thought about.
So you do like a spark every day?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be some examples of sparks from this past week or last week?
Okay, so tomorrow we've got a couple of sparks. So they're playing this Prodigy game. It's an online math game, and they play as wizards, and the word sum and difference keeps coming up. So I've put together a little, like, mini lesson, right? 5 minutes of just talking about what a sum or a difference is, or integers, so that they keep seeing this in this game that they're playing. And so I'm trying to give them that little bit so that they can get past it. And then also poems for two voices. So we do poetry on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
to try to introduce different types of poetry, and they have tea or whatever hot beverage they want to bring. Hot beverage Tuesday is what we call it. And I found a national poem, like poetry contest, poetry slam, international poetry slam for two voices. And so that's going to be one of the sparks for tomorrow, because memory work and, you know, standing in front of a group and skits and that sort of stuff they're interested in. So giving them the spark that, hey, this is cool, this is an international thing, writing mm-hmm. your own poetry is a couple of the sparks for this week. And we're still working on the movie, so also talking about like special effects and all the words that you should, all the vocabulary you should know if you're going to be on a film set is one of the things that we're doing this week.
How much time does the movie take up, like percentage wise of, you know, the day, the week?
Well, we're working on Thursdays on the movie. The class is 75 minutes and it's taking up pretty much a good percentage of that time.
Yeah.
Different on different days. Some days they're just not into it. I'm like, okay, guys, you're going to work on the movie today? And they're just kind of looking at you with, you know, doing whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. Right. They're all on the computers playing Prodigy, like trying to math up. And I'm like, well, I feel like maybe I should not interrupt what they're doing to try to force a movie on them. So we don't do it on those days. I mean, it's really very director oriented, whatever they lead it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever have a situation where, like, you introduce a spark and you get engagement from almost everybody, but maybe there's just one or two people who don't buy in at all?
Absolutely.
And what happens in that situation?
Well, we teach self-regulation. So in the room, there's a place to take a break. There's computers. There's other things. And the kids have been told from the very beginning that being part of a community of learners means that even when you're not interested in it, but most people are, you have to find a way to go take care of your needs so that the rest of us that are learning together or want to do this topic can do this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So they're learning to take a break or self-regulate for themselves.
Now, is there ever a situation where like one person will break off and then that one person will start to attract other people mm-hmm. to whatever their activity is?
Honestly, I always tell a joke on like the fidget spinners. If my spark can't be more entertaining than a fidget spinner, then what's the point of my spark? So mm-hmm. if one person breaks off and then people go with them, then obviously I'm not sparking anything.
Right.
And we go with that.
So you found yourself competing with fidget spinners at
no,
one point?
No, absolutely not.
No.
That was the point. Like, I have lots of teacher friends, and so there was a lot of memes about fidget spinners. And Shauna and I had a conversation about, well, we have to be more interesting than a fidget spinner today. It's never been a problem.
So if we could broaden a little bit, you spent time in the public schools. It was brief, right?
But 7 years.
7 years. And now you've done this for a year.
Year and a half.
Right?
Yeah, year and a half. Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. It's almost November. Do you have any hope for the public system, or do you have, I guess, hope that you can, and settings like yours can attract more people from there? You're probably not holding out a lot of hope for school as it is, I'm guessing.
I don't think reform in the current system is possible.
Why not?
Because it works for so many of the people in charge,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been working for students or learners in such a long time. I feel like the data is there, and we're ignoring it. So I'm not sure what would have to happen for someone to be like, oh, this information we've had for years and years, let's finally take a look at that and see what we can do differently.
The reason why I ask is because you spent 7 years as a public school teacher, and I was sort of on the periphery of the system for a number of years as well. I was actually never a public school teacher. I only taught in private school, and then the most educational experience I had as it related to public schools was working as a tutor and a college admissions consultant. So, you know, I did academic tutoring, I did SAT tutoring, I, you know, engaged in that whole college admissions process with kids in some really competitive schools. And there was always a lot of talk, mm-hmm. it seemed. So I don't know if, you know, all those years of exposure made you think that, I mean, maybe even if you didn't feel like it was the right place for you, if you felt like generally things were headed in a new direction or an innovative direction, or they were, you know, picking up from all of this obvious quantitative feedback that mm-hmm. they've been getting since the 1970s, that this doesn't work for kids, and how long can this just be, you know, a trough for unions and corporations that rise up to serve, finger quotes, serve schools, mm-hmm. lunches and textbooks and stuff like that. But it sounds like we're probably on the same page.
I think so.
So how much do you hope to expand Sparks?
I would love to be able to offer what I'm doing now, which is enrichment for predominantly homeschooling families. I plan for next August to be able to at least offer half day
mm-hmm.
and then go from there to a full day for kids who, I mean, right now I'm limited to my population because for a lot of kids who go to school, even if they're unsatisfied with the traditional school setting, mom and dad work, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
what else do you do? There's not a lot of other options, right? Private schools are still a traditional model. even if they have more bells and whistles and makerspaces and lots of fancy curriculum, there's still a traditional model for school. So I would like to be able to grow to the point where I could offer a full day or a half day or enrichment for a greater population.
Excellent. So let's actually jump back to just public school teaching experience, because I kind of want to compare and contrast, for the benefit of my audience, want to compare and contrast these two worlds a little bit. You said that before you left public school, you wanted to be as separate as you could from the rest of the school environment, mm-hmm. other teachers and other classroom settings. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Why was that? What were you seeing or experiencing?
Well, for me, it always comes back to relationships. So if my kids are spending only an hour with me and then an hour with a different teacher, I'm not building that relationship. I don't get to know those kids. I don't know what they like, what they need. And they're not learning how to build those relationships and community with each other. And so that's really why I wanted to be self-contained, was so that we could just become a community of learners together. So we had empathy for each other and we just learned from each other. That was the greatest thing. There were times when I taught fourth grade that I would close my classroom door because the teachers across the hall were publicly humiliating a child. You know, there are still a couple names that come to my mind of a child that was, well, so-and-so doesn't have her schoolwork today. Oh, guys, we can't go outside because so-and-so doesn't have their work. It was just this really hard environment to be around. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to isolate myself, honestly, and my kids as much as possible from that, just that survivalist feeling that you can get in a classroom.
Yeah, so there's that, and then there's the social aspect for the kids, right? Now, don't kids travel from place to place in school today in things called pods?
Right.
So they can get to know each other better? Is that a thing around here?
My experience as a pod is because if a teacher is only doing lesson plans for one subject area, mm-hmm. then those lesson plans will be more amazing and more great, and they can have more knowledge in that subject area, which therefore makes them a better teacher of the subject. So a pod is where there's one teacher teaching math, another one teaching science, another one teaching social studies, and the kids travel to the different teachers for the subject area.
Right.
And that starts at a much, much younger age.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids do travel together, but there's so little opportunity for socializing in the classroom that I don't believe that builds community. I feel like that just gives them that much more upheaval in their day.
So as you compare the populations of like the people who are at Sparks with the work you did or things you've seen as far as like the traditional student to student interactions, the traditional student to student interactions are obviously way more disconnected, right? Mm-hmm. And there's more, I don't know, awkwardness. There's probably more negativity, bullying, but you feel that the community model solves most of that? Are there exceptions? Are there ever any like student to student interactions that you feel are, you know, unhealthy or unhelpful?
Well, sure, because we're all humans.
Yeah.
So we all have unhealthy or unhelpful communications with people, even when we're close to them. As a facilitator at Sparks, we go to those students, we can pull them aside, we can help them navigate what the issue is. Usually it's just a communication issue. It's usually for kids, it comes down to, I didn't know that they meant this, and having someone help translate that for them and protect everybody's feelings, everybody's respected in that situation, we build from that, which is also what builds community. You know, if you're a kid who's having a pretty great day and someone in your class is having a really rotten day, mm-hmm. and you're taught, you know what? We all have rotten days. Let's give them some grace. Let's give them some space. Let's think about the last time we had a rotten day. You really build community. And you know that when you're having a rotten day later, like, everybody loves you and we all rally around you and we're going to help lift you up as best as we can. And you have to have that in a classroom for people to learn together. Like,
right.
If you're not going to feel great sharing your crazy ideas with somebody if you feel like they're going to be laughed at or you're going to be humiliated.
Right, right. Are there what you would call rules?
Rules for Sparks.
Yeah.
We have the general rule of, this is a community of learners. You're all here because you elected to be here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their parents signed them up because they wanted to be there. We have to respect, as a community of learners, that you don't talk over each other or you pay attention when someone else is talking. Let everybody have their voice. And then also just safety rules, you know, please don't run around the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if somebody violates the rules?
Well, that we there's no public humiliation. We go to that student. We talk about, do you understand why this is a rule? Do you understand why this is a problem? What do you think we can do about it? What would you like to do with it? How would you like to handle that? And we solve it that way. It's okay. Back on the learners. They always know. I mean, the violations always come because we're children and adults, and we're not always perfect in our behaviors, and we have impulses sometimes, and we act on them, and it's exciting. And so reminding everybody that if we're all talking at the same time, we can't really film the next scene of this movie that we're doing is pretty much as far as it goes. We assume positive intent from everybody in the community.
It was interesting because an hour before we started this, I was talking to a group of, I think, maybe 10 Sparks attendees, right? And some of them were as young as probably 6, 7, it looked in the group, and up to age 11 or 12. And I forgot to tell them something that I always tell adults, which is like, let's try to only have one person talking at a time. And when we started, I went, oh, I forgot to say that, right? But that was actually very orderly. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was interesting. It seemed like there was, I don't want to say that it's uncharacteristic for a group of kids that age, but from like the school populations that I've seen, it kind of is that there would just be a respect for what one person is saying. And it seemed like the other children were interested in what the person that I was, you know, directing the mic at actually had to say. And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I got to learn a little bit more about what you're doing. It seems to be, from what I've seen here today, extremely successful.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you learned about School Sucks. I hope you'll continue to listen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome.
So I guess the move would be that anyone who wants to be interviewed can, I guess we can just gather around right here. Wow, this is a lot of people.
Do you two seriously want to be interviewed?
Do you guys want to get asked questions about school?
About school?
Homeschool.
Yeah, school.
It's not an official school.
I won't make you get interviewed here, well, I promise.
Let's start with you, Pax. So, I guess the closer we are, the better. So, anyone who wants to, like, can just sit somewhere in this area. Oh, people are enthusiastic about this. So, and I know I got introduced to everybody, but I'm probably going to have to ask everyone's name again. So, I hope that's okay. Okay. Paxton.
I'm Elijah, not the child.
Adara.
Adara. So how old are you?
I'm 11.
And your name is Paxton?
Yes.
And where do you live?
I live in Cali County, Kansas, in Winfield.
Did you ever go to a school?
I did a couple years ago.
What kind of a school was it?
It was an average school, like, it was called Country View, and it was just like an everyday school.
Like a public school?
Yeah.
Like everyone goes to?
Yeah.
And what did you think of that?
It was fine, but I couldn't keep up with everything, so.
So what do you do every day now?
We take things really just the way we need to, and like we take our time, and if we feel pressured, we just can wait.
Do you pick a lot of the things that you want to work on?
Yes, and that's one of the benefits I like.
So what are some of the things that you like to do?
I like nature, so if we're doing something, I like to pick something about nature. I like catching reptiles and amphibians and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Are there lots of reptiles around here?
Yes. How much do you not like them?
A lot. Somebody was creeping me out. I was in Kansas City last night, and they were scaring me with stories about snakes. Oh. I'd say my two biggest fears are snakes and tornadoes, so it's a real challenge
here.
Snake-nado. I hope not. My worst fear would be like being picked up by a tornado and just to find there are snakes already in there. I mean, awful.
There are not a lot of snakes, but if we're telling the truth, there is a decent amount of snakes.
A decent amount of snakes?
Yeah.
Where, now, you see these snakes and you try to catch them?
Yes.
Yes.
It's quite fun for me. I enjoy looking at them, taking pictures of them.
And do you know, like, could you identify snakes?
Yes, yeah.
So are there ones that are dangerous?
Yes. Like the copperhead, the prairie rattlesnake, the Massasauga, the western diamondback rattlesnake, which is very uncommon here. But, like, there's the milk snake, and this is the kinder snakes, like the milk snake and the bull snake, which gets mistaken for the rattlesnake a lot.
So what would you say is the most common snake? The snake that I'm most likely to step on at night when I'm going to the car to get my suitcase?
It could be a lion snake or a ringneck snake.
Mm-hmm.
I really love ringneck snakes.
It really depends where you are, but kind of, if you're in like the Red Hills, Pratt area, bull snakes would mm-hmm. be crossing the road. So I would say ringnecks, though, most of the majority of Kansas.
How did you teach yourself so much about reptiles?
My grandfather he inspired me to do it. He showed me, and there's these things called herp counts, mm-hmm. and I would go and we would count the herps, which herps are amphibians, reptiles,
mm-hmm.
and we would do that. We would go to these herp counts, and we would find them, lift up rocks, and count them, and then there's like these field guides where they show the snakes of Kansas. So
do you have like a collection at home? Do you have pets?
I have a crested gecko and a bald python, which neither of them live here in Kansas, though, but I once in a while keep some snakes and then let them go.
So this is one of your primary interests that you devote time to at home when you're doing education.
Yeah.
So you make your own schedule pretty much each day?
Pretty much, yeah.
What other things do you do to fill your time?
I like video games, too. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty fun. But sometimes I'll like to learn about, like, coding.
Are video games educational?
They can be, possibly. Like, it depends, really, what game. But, like, if it's, like, a math game, you know,
mm-hmm.
that can be educational or some reading games.
What do you think the best thing is about what you do now versus the experience that you had at school? Like, what was the biggest improvement that you noticed for yourself?
The biggest improvement was I could take things on my time. At school, I felt like it was just rushing me too much, and I couldn't process it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the best reader, so I preferred homeschool because we could take things on my own, on like my own time, and it's nice because I can just work easy and it's no pressure to get things done quickly.
So you want to continue doing education the way you're doing it?
Yes.
And what do you think you want to do when you're done with this? Like, what would you see yourself doing when you're an adult?
Herpetology, I like doing that, so I think, like, when I grow up, I want to be a herpetologist, so yeah.
So you're going to make a career out of chasing these reptiles
exactly,
around.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and I want to try and talk to as many people as we can, and I know we have limited time. I wish I could talk to all of you for longer, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
Does somebody want to go next?
Me.
Okay, and what was your name again?
Adara.
Adara. And how old are you?
I'm 9.
And where do you live?
Winfield, Kansas.
Okay. So tell me about what you do for education.
Well, I take an online school,
mm-hmm.
which I do that about every day for an hour,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty fun. And when I'm not doing it, sometimes I like to draw pictures
mm-hmm.
and playing with my sister, basically.
Were you ever in a school?
I was in kindergarten, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what happened after kindergarten that made you decide or made all of you decide that you wanted to do learning from home?
Oh, well, it was hard for me because I just felt like I was getting pressured to do a lot of things and I didn't like that.
By the school, at school?
Yeah.
So there was, like, a lot of things going. I remember being 9 and being in school, and I certainly felt that way. It wasn't just pressure. It was like, you have to do these things, or you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And I didn't like to do almost any of them. So it was that kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think you want to do when you're older?
I really like to bake, so I kind of want to be a chef.
Do you practice baking now?
Yes.
What do you bake?
I like baking cookies.
Mm-hmm. Cupcakes? Someone says cupcakes way away from the mic. Is that just some
baker? She just whips it up, no measurements, and she's pretty phenomenal.
You don't even measure?
No.
I've heard about people who can do this, and it turns out good?
Really good.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I love it.
So how often do you get to do that?
Maybe like once a week.
So are cupcakes your specialty, or are there other things?
There are other things, a couple other things like cookies.
So tell me one other way you like to spend your time during the day while so many other people are in that situation that you manage to avoid, which is doing things you don't like all day, like I remember doing when I was your age. So what's another thing you like to do with your free time or, you know, just during the day with your sister or with your family?
I like riding my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty fun.
What's it like where you live? Does it look like this with lots of like open spaces and?
Yeah, pretty much. I ride my bike around our neighborhood a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we live like on a hill, so I ride up and down that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing your story. Does anyone else want to go? All right. How about you? What was your name?
Zach.
How old are you, Zach?
Nine.
And have you ever gone to school?
A little bit. I've only been to public school. I haven't been to public school. Been to kindergarten.
You've been to kindergarten?
Yes.
Preschool. So tell me what you do with your time now.
Well, spend it school sometimes. Well, I do. I go to school.
At home?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I do home and our mom also.
Oh, you go to Sparks. So what is Sparks?
Well, it's basically what you do at homeschool at the same time. It's you can like interact with your friends. You can do projects with your friends.
So it's like a place you go to do your own educational thing with other people who are doing the same thing. How many kids are at Sparks?
I don't know.
Everyone in this room plus like a lot
well,
more.
Well, almost everybody.
How many more people besides who's in this room?
We have 15 is our biggest class for 4.
Wow, that's a lot.
How many people do you think we have in total?
30 students.
So what do you think of Sparks?
Awesome.
Why?
Because it's just fun.
Yeah?
You do stuff, you have fun, you learn stuff.
What's the most fun thing that you get to do there?
Making stuff with your friends.
Make like what kinds of stuff? Oh, you're getting phone a friend information.
Phone a brother.
Oh, brother. What do you make?
Well, I like to make stuff.
Do you want me to try? How about I try to guess? Hey, will you tell me if I guess right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you questions that are yes or no questions, and then you, this will narrow it down. The stuff you make, is it out of clay?
Not usually.
But sometimes? Oh, this is tough. Okay. Does it have wood? Do you make stuff out of wood?
No.
Okay. So sometimes clay. Does it have metal pieces?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So clay, metal pieces.
Not in chemistry.
Things that explode?
Yeah.
One time? Things that aren't supposed to explode, but sometimes surprise everybody and explode.
Well, we actually did a project which was supposed to explode.
Oh, a volcano.
A volcanic eruption.
Yes,
Mentos and...
What was that?
Mentos and cola.
Mentos and cola.
Yes.
So you make, my guess is, a mess. You make messes.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! That's so right!
All right. Yes. Very good. Very good. So who wants to... Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Who wants to go next? Okay. And your name?
Drayden.
And you live here?
Yes.
Okay. And have you ever been to a school?
Yes. I'm a kindergarten dropout.
You dropped out of kindergarten?
I'm super
pumped. Oh, they told us we couldn't do that because I asked. And how old are you now?
11.
11. So what do you do on a typical, maybe there isn't such a thing as a typical day, but what would you do on like an ideal day?
Let's see. Mostly video games.
Mm-hmm.
An ideal day, mostly.
Like
video games.
Educational video games.
Like, what are so? I'm an old man, and I don't. Let's just say I don't believe video games are very educational. When I was a kid, video games, you know, you were a plumber and you were collecting mushrooms and avoiding turtles. And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
what's the
I
point of this?
That.
You couldn't even go backwards. You couldn't even go backwards and,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah, I know
you,
that game.
You went down pipes. It was just like, Mario. In the end, it didn't seem like a good use of my time. So how have video games evolved and how have they become educational?
Well, some video games are not educational at all.
Mm-hmm, I believe it.
And then again, there's some, like, I can't, like, there's other video games with where you do math problems, and mm-hmm. that's mostly what I do. I learned to code and make my own video games.
Really?
Yes.
So what kind of games have you made?
Mostly animations. Occasionally, like, you just have a character following your mouse, you try to collect some item.
Or wow. Something. How long would it take to do something like that?
About 5 hours on a good day.
Could I make a game for my website? This is something I could teach myself to do? Like a little game where...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could easily make a video game.
So it's me, and I go around and collect something or run from something. Is this
running's a lot harder than collecting something.
Running from a teacher.
Yeah.
So it's me, right? So it's like a kind of a little character with it's like a little me, and I'm running from. I'm trying to get out of a school.
Yes. Would it be a like you're viewing from above video game or a you're actually from a first person perspective?
Probably like Mario. That's what I'm comfortable with.
No,
from the top. Zelda. That was my favorite game.
Yeah.
And the original Zelda was from the top.
So you'd look from the top down. Yes, that'd be very easy.
Okay.
Lots of people. I've seen Minecraft being recreated.
Really?
So, yeah.
Just by people writing their own codes from scratch.
Yeah. That's actually the name of the coding website that I use.
Scratch. The name is Scratch.
What's it called? Scratch?
Scratch.
Oh, that's very cool. Is that your room? Right there?
Yes.
I saw there's a recording studio in the closet.
Well, I haven't been making YouTube videos lately because
mm-hmm.
I don't have a screen recorder and it's rather difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a channel, and so...
What have you put on your channel?
Just gaming content. Mostly. Mostly.
And random outside things.
Catapulting eggs.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And wrangling chickens.
Chicken catching.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you picked up a chicken?
Yes.
What's that like?
It feels like holding a cat, except a little more feathery. And also, you gotta be careful of the legs, because they're a bit annoying to hold. Because they're caught when you try to hold them by the legs, they start trying to run away.
Right.
While you're holding their legs, they run away.
Well, when your hand is near their legs, they start trying to use your hand to run away.
So this would be. A very different experience than, like, the ones I've had, say, carrying a chicken through the supermarket.
What?
No.
That seems very peaceful.
If you catch a chicken, all you have to do is corner it, and then have quick reflexes, and then you've got a little chicken.
In the supermarket, it's even easier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can
it does cost money, though.
The chicken out of the refrigerator.
That's right. So that's... so.
It's actually easier to hold them. Well, I think it's a lot more rewarding to hold them live.
I could imagine that would be the case. I agree with you. Maybe I could try it while I'm here.
Maybe.
How long does it take to catch one? So they don't want to be caught, I'm guessing.
It depends on what kind of chicken. Some are faster and some are slower.
Mm-hmm.
We have most of our our slow ones got eaten by dogs. So,
like wild dogs?
Our neighbors. Our
neighbors' dogs.
Yeah.
Friendly neighborhood dogs.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a dog's instinct, but it's kind of annoying that the neighbors just let him roam.
Sure. So when you pick up the chicken,
oh my god!
How does the chicken generally feel? How does the chicken generally feel about that?
It just stops and sits there. Like
oh really?
It's like holding a cat. It's a lot like holding a cat.
Interesting. So, well, I'll be here tonight, so I look forward to talking more to you and seeing what you do, and maybe even if there's because I have a YouTube channel. And, you know a thing or two. And maybe if I can point you in the right direction with any of that stuff, I'd be happy to do that.
Oh.
So if you have any other questions, we could talk about it later.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, it was good to... What's that?
How many subscribers do you have?
On my YouTube channel? I don't know, because I don't really use it anymore. Either. So how long has it been since you made a video?
Maybe a couple of months.
Yeah, it's probably I probably haven't made one in 3 or 4 months. I don't know. You could look it up.
You make videos, but you just haven't been able to post them.
It's like thousands, but it's not a lot. I mean, it's not like a big. It's not like
there's YouTubers who post every single day.
What's the most popular YouTuber?
PewDiePie. No, that's not true. That's not true. He's the most popular gaming YouTuber, but that's not true.
Most popular YouTuber.
No one knows.
Well,
PewDiePie is
even though
it's
number 24/7 on YouTube.
It's definitely not me, but I have.
I have 30 subscribers.
Well, how many videos do you have?
I don't know, like
a lot.
12.
Oh yeah, see, 12. The people who do really well on YouTube are people who put out videos every day.
Yes, you gotta mass produce your content, so it's more likely that someone stumbles upon your channel.
I don't know. See, my attitude is if I put out a video every day, I just feel like I was bothering people. You know? Like, there's just so much stuff. I mean, I have a show. I try to put out, like, you know, 2 things a week on podcasts for people to listen to, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff on the internet, you know, for people to have to choose between and devote their time to.
I don't necessarily think that's true, because if people stumble upon your channel, they can always just click off the video if they don't like it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I guess what another way of saying it would be if I'm going to take up somebody's time, because time is valuable, I want to make sure it's worth their time. And I'm not sure I could do something every day that I thought was worth,
you know. The thing is, it doesn't have to be worth their time, because if it's not, they just don't watch the video and no time lost.
But what my fear would be that... If there was a few of those days in a row where they clicked on it and didn't like it, they might stop clicking on them. So, I don't know. But,
yeah, well, it's actually a better idea to mass produce than just a couple a month. Because some people, they'll stop watching your channel just because they have to wait a long time.
Oh, that's actually what happened to my channel. So probably this, there's probably like somewhere in the middle that I should look for, right, if I want to bring the channel back.
No, I think it's the more videos you can produce, the better your channel will grow.
And the better chances I have of making something that will go viral.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Because even if you have a couple days in a row, you're still going to have a couple days in a row, even if you don't do it very long. But then it's going to take even longer for people to find a good video.
How many views do I need to have it be a viral video?
I don't know.
It's like 10,000 is like, 10,000 is viral.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot, but yeah.
So I have viral videos.
Yeah, lots of YouTubers do, if they're good.
If you got like over 10,000 or 10,000 views, that's a good viral video.
Awesome. Viral, so. And it doesn't matter how long it took to get over 10,000?
Not really. If it's like 10 years, then maybe but if it's under like a year possibly, I think that makes sense.
Oh, that's
it
cool.
It depends on what your opinion on going viral is. If it's like, it could be, like, 100 views in a second. That's, like, in a day. Or in your opinion, if that's going viral, I think, in your opinion, that's going viral.
If I make a video now and it gets 1,000 views, I go, wow.
That's a lot. If that's a lot, then it's your opinion if that's a lot or not.
Okay, so maybe I should make more videos.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Maybe while I'm here, we can come up with an idea for a video.
That could be fun.
Maybe I can copy you and just, you could hold the camera and I could try to catch a chicken.
Or catapult eggs.
Or catapult eggs.
Yes.
Who else wants to be on the microphone? Well, so we'll start with you and then you. What's your name?
Elijah.
And how old are you?
Nine.
Nine?
Almost 10.
Have you ever been to school?
Yes.
Tell me about that first.
Waking up way too early.
Like how early?
I don't know, but just too early
for me. Was it light out yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit. I went to kindergarten and I think preschool. And I was ready for first grade when I went into a school when I was in kindergarten. And they just taught me the things that I already knew. And too much sitting down on a carpet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan of sitting down. Mm-mm. But right now I am sitting down, and I just sat down for 4 hours in my car. So. But when I was your age, I certainly wanted to be up and moving around, yeah. And you get to do that now more?
Yeah.
So what's your day like now? What is your education like now?
I like drawing and making random stuff.
What kind of random stuff?
You made funny comic ones.
Yeah, I did.
You made a comic book?
Yeah. No, just a comic.
Strip?
Yeah.
What do you draw?
Just a lot of stuff. I don't really know.
Random.
Just animals and stuff.
Do you have any of them with you?
No.
No? What was your comic about?
Rudolph having rabies.
The reindeer?
Yeah.
And how was that resolved? What did it have a happy ending?
No.
I don't really know how it ended. I think Santa ran away.
Well, isn't Rudolph the most important one for the gift delivery?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
So is there going to be a sequel?
I don't know what that means, but no.
Oh, a sequel, like a continuation, like there's more to the story.
No.
No? So what else do you do? What do you do when you're able to move around and go outside?
I like carving. Like.
Oh, really? You make things out of wood?
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't really know. Just random little things with eyes and mouths.
So like.
You made a knife.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He made a spear.
Creatures.
Yeah, pretty much.
And what do you do with them? You give them away? You give them.
Yeah. Sometimes I just stick them in the ground and I take them, and yeah, that's it. Pretty much.
That's cool.
Whittling.
Whittling. So yeah. Just kind of like for something to do with your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that. What do you know about what I do? Did people tell you guys who I was before I got here?
No.
So were you surprised when I showed up?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yes, I listened to one of your videos.
That's not me.
You listened to one of my videos?
Podcasts.
Oh, what? Which one?
The first one.
The first one?
The first School Sucks one.
From 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. What did you know?
Nothing, really.
Nothing? What do you think of this so far?
It's fun.
You like being interviewed?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one more good question. I'm trying to ask unique questions to everybody. Do you still go to school?
I go to Sparks.
You go to Sparks? What do you think of that?
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I like learning by doing.
By being able to move around, use your hands.
Yeah.
What do you think is one of the most valuable or satisfying things you've managed to learn or teach yourself, like this year?
Blacksmithing.
What? Really? Mm-hmm. How's you did that at the school?
No.
No.
And where did you do that?
With somebody.
What, a blacksmith?
Yeah.
So you got to go to a blacksmith, and the blacksmith showed you how to do things?
Yeah.
Was it a man?
Is what?
Was he a man? Man?
Yeah.
What did he teach you how to do?
I've gone with him twice, and the first time I made an S-hook, which is basically just two hooks on the end of a
metal rod.
Piece of metal.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to go back and do more?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is that something that interests you? Is that something you'd want to do? Make things out of metal?
Yeah. It's really fun.
You could get together with Zach.
Huh?
And you guys could...
Oh.
Make messes out of metal.
Yeah, make messes.
I don't think so.
Zach is trusting fire.
Yeah.
Well,
not a great idea.
Well, thanks for doing an interview. Do you have any questions for me?
No, not really.
No? Well, if you think of one, let me know. But thank you. And what's your name?
My name is Hannah.
Hannah? And how old are you?
I'm 10.
You're 10?
Just turned 10.
And did you ever go to school?
Yes, I went to school when up to second grade, almost went going to third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, well, I wasn't learning anything because my sister would come home, and she's two grades ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd always, like, teach me what she learned. And so I knew, like, multiplication in, like, first grade. And she, like, division, and she would always teach me. Or not multiplication. I mean,
division?
Divide, subtraction?
I don't know. I forgot what it's called. Division.
So
I don't know. The right
multiplication.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, she would always come home and teach me that stuff, so I would never learn anything in school.
Your sister ruined all the great surprises for you.
You're evil, Mirabelle.
And so when the teacher finally said, "You guys are gonna love this," you already knew it. Is that what happened?
Well, my sister had already, like, by the time that I decided that I wanted to do homeschool, she had already started doing homeschool because she decided that she didn't want to do it. And one of the reasons was because we were being bullied when we were at school, and so we decided that we wanted to do homeschool instead. And our parents gave us an option whether we could stay in school or we could do homeschool, and we both chose to do homeschool.
And what does that look like for you? Like, what is education at home like?
I really like my schoolwork and stuff. I like, well, I go to Sparks, and I like, I do, like, coding there, and we do STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I like the most, like, what I like to do the most at Sparks is cooking, because I love cooking, like, I really like cooking.
What do you like to cook?
Well, I like baking and I like cooking. But the thing that I like to cook by myself is pancakes and cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my favorite things to cook.
Can you tell me more about STEAM and what you, because there's a lot there, right?
Yeah.
So what parts of it do you like?
Well, STEAM, like, we do... One of the recent things that we did was...
Fake wounds?
We practiced special effects makeup. That was one thing that we did at STEAM. And last year, one thing that we did at STEAM was we... It was kind of weird because I don't like bugs, but we went outside and we looked for bugs. And... the baby's over here, like, laying down just like... And we were looking for bugs, and then we were looking at them, all of them, and just seeing which ones everybody caught. And it was very fun to do that.
So, you said you made special effects?
Makeup. Or we did special effects makeup.
Special effects makeup?
Mm-hmm.
For, like, horror movies? Yeah. Or, really?
Horror movies.
Yeah.
Horror movie.
What?
Horror movies.
Horror movies? Yeah. So, what kinds of creations did you do?
Well, we practice on fake wounds, like fake cuts and like stuff like that. Everybody was just like, yeah, we decided to use like glue and just glue like paper towels on us, and then we made fake blood using chocolate syrup and red food dye, and that was.
So how did you figure out how to do all that?
Well,
Teacher.
We watched a couple of videos on it, and because in Core, we are making a movie in Core.
What is Core?
Core is like.
Do you know what your script is?
Yes.
You go there, you do your script, and you film.
They're filming a movie like right now, and it's like
they're filming a movie at your school.
Like yeah.
What's it about?
It's
about a serial killer.
It's about a serial killer.
It's about a serial killer?
Yes.
Well, this is definitely what we
have.
Be
serial killer. A serial killer in a school.
She's right here. I mean, yeah. Watch out for Audrey. She'll kill you.
Yeah, she's a serial killer.
Yeah. Oh God. Watch out.
So who wrote this movie? Who?
Who's
me?
Everybody.
No. Everybody.
Everybody.
You all participated in coming up with a script and a story?
Yep.
Well, not really you.
Well, not me and my sister, because we joined late. We're joining late.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did somebody say, hey, we should make a movie?
No.
Or did someone say, hey, we should make a movie about a serial killer?
I wanted to make a movie.
Nathan wanted to make a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened next?
She wanted it to be about a serial killer.
No, that's not what happened. You were, so my mom, your mom told me, so you were walking down, you were coming into school, and I was like, off in the hallway, and you said it would be really cool if you filmed a serial killer movie in the hallway. And then the next day, Audrey was a serial killer in the movie.
At the end of the hall, there's light, and when all the lights are off, that's all you can see.
Is the light.
Yeah.
And that's very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you have the idea to make the movie. What's your name?
Audrey.
Audrey says, let's make it about a serial killer.
Yes.
You say, great, let's get the makeup department on the phone. Right?
Yeah.
And then it all kind of comes together?
Yeah.
Audrey is a serial
killer.
Oh, so it's still this.
Still in the making.
I eat cereal.
Now, is there any kind of twist? Is it serial, S-E-R-I-A-L, or it's cereal? Like Captain Crunch?
No.
In that case, then I have to kill people.
In that case, I am a serial killer.
Oh, yeah. We all pretend that we're normal students at a normal school. Then, right before the bell rings, I ask if I could go to the bathroom. 5 seconds later, the lights are off in the hallway and all the doors are locked, and I try to kill people.
What's a normal school?
Torture. Normal school torture. Prison.
Prison. All of that.
If you want to send kids to jail, just send them to school.
Yes, exactly.
He made a comic strip about that, actually.
Yep.
Nathan made a comic strip about school being
jail.
Yep.
What inspired that? Did you ever go to school, Nathan?
Yeah, I was in school in kindergarten.
That was it? That was all it took for you to think it was jail?
Yep.
Why?
Take it.
I experienced it.
I'm dysgraphic, and I'm a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I would, like, do a problem wrong, I'm like, 4 years. I'm an idiot.
So that wasn't a good experience for you, and then you go now to Sparks, and that's better. How long have you been there?
It hasn't been a thing for very long. It's a year.
What's the best thing? Can I ask you one more question, Nathan? What's the best thing for you about being at Sparks?
Because I can learn and I can play with my friends and at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Come here.
This is a... And there's also a baby.
Hey! Hello, my name is Xavier.
So before we end this, does anyone have any questions for me, being that I'm a stranger who showed up here with a microphone, and that's odd, I guess. Yes, Pax.
How did you get interested in this?
Podcasting?
Podcasting homeschools.
That's a really interesting question, and I'll try to answer it. You're on your way out the door.
No, so, I can hear it.
Okay. When I was probably a lot of your ages or younger, I used to go to baseball games, and I loved baseball. And I realized that there was a man at the baseball game who, this is going to be a long story, but I'm going to talk really fast. There's a man at the baseball game on television, on the radio, who talks about what's happening in the game. So I would sit there in my seat, and I would do that, pretend I was the guy who was the play-by-play, the person on television who talks the way through the game. So I said, this is what I want to do when I get to be older. I want to be the person who does this. You know, you guys all know what I mean when you're watching sports on TV.
Yeah,
there's a guy talking.
Oh, geez,
yeah, sports guy. So when... So when I was 12 years old, I always went to public school. I was never a good student after sixth grade. So when I was about 12 years old, my parents found a camp for kids who were 16 and up, and they got me into it somehow, and it was for sports casting and sports writing. So I went there. I had a great time. I learned a lot. I made videos of me being a sportscaster when I was, I think I was 12, 13 years old. And then when I was about to graduate from high school, I saw that I had to pick a major. You have to pick some, like, a focused program of study when you go to college, like one thing that you major in. So I said, oh, I remember when I was 12, I liked sports casting. There was something I really liked about, like, talking into a microphone and having people listen. So I'll go to school for what's called communications. So I did that, and I learned about radio and television. and everything that they taught me in college, by the time I graduated, it wasn't the way things were anymore, because everything was changed by the internet, which was new or newer back then. So I wound up working in education and being a teacher. And eventually there were lots of lessons and lots of things that I saw that made me not want to be involved in that anymore. I think probably a lot of the similar types of experiences and feelings that you guys had in school. But I always loved doing this. I always loved having a microphone and talking into it and making shows and making videos. So eventually, when I couldn't do it in front of a classroom anymore, I started doing it into one of these and putting it on the internet. So it's kind of like based on something that I wanted to do since I was probably most of your ages.
It's a good story, Allie.
That's a short version. That was a really short version. There's lots of like...
I'm 12.
Well, I mean, when I was like 7 or 8 and I would go to the games, I would like to do that. I like the idea of, you know, holding a microphone and, you know, talking into it and making something out of it. So that's that story in a nutshell. Anyone else? Any other questions? A strange man shows up with a microphone and starts interviewing, and nobody else wants to know anything?
Me?
Yeah?
At first I thought you were going to babysit us.
Oh, let's go! Oh,
where
did... No, he is. He just didn't know until...
Where did you think all the adults were going to go?
I don't know.
Okay, if no one else has any questions, I'm really appreciative that all of you were willing to talk to me and touch me with skeleton hands on a stick. But this was really great, and I definitely enjoyed talking to all of you, and I learned a lot. And no one else has anything they want to say before I shut this off?
I love Harry Potter.
Love Harry Potter.
Hashtag Bruce Brothers on YouTube.
What?
Brooks Brothers?
Birch
Brothers. What's that?
It's me and just kind of like a channel that me and my friends do.
Hashtag
we catch
her.
Birch Brothers.
Catch her.
Zach came and watched.
You just snuck a free ad into my show? Okay, so what can people see there?
What I like to catch. Snakes and cool critters like that you might not know about.
We can see videos of you handling snakes.
Yes.
Okay,
and
so
me.
It's...
And me.
And you and him and...
Everybody, that guy.
And I'm the camera girl.
Really?
Yes.
How do you, and you feel okay about being around snakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually so much fun holding them. I like being with snakes.
I'm more afraid of us than we are of them, actually.
I'm a pet snake.
You have a pet snake?
Yep.
All right. Well,
girl.
I'm going to take out my phone. When I stop recording, I'm going to take out my phone, and I'm going to go to Birch Brothers.
Yes.
And watch you guys touch snakes, I guess.
And Adair Slimes.
What's it?
That's my YouTube channel.
What is it?
Adair Slimes.
Oh, okay.
Adair Slimes.
Well, I'll check that out, too.
I thought it was Adair Slime.
Mine's Zach Gaming.
Zach Gaming? Awesome. What is it?
I said the YouTube plugs.
Well, good. Anyone else have a YouTube plug they want to get in?
You. Do it.
I'm D for Doom and Princess One. D for Doom and Princess One. My sister is Princess One.
And you're D for Doom?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
No.
Nope.
No.
You like her sauce?
First of all, I'm too crunchy. All
right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you being on the show.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yes, they've all come to meet me. Arms are reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass. The